Two bankrupt subprime mortgage lenders want to destroy original loan paperwork.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. There are a couple of interesting hearings today taking place before bankruptcy judges in Delaware. The people handling the finances of the two subprime mortgage lenders who want to shred thousands of boxes of loans from years past. So far, the government's refused to let them do it. And we get the latest now from Marketplace's Elisa Roth.
At the center of these hearings are more than 20,000 boxes of documents. Now, just to be clear, these are two different cases, but the issue is the same. Both of the companies are bankrupt, and it's expensive to store all that paper, so the people who are dealing with the bankruptcies want to get rid of it. But there could be some important documents there.
Certainly the note and the mortgage are the most important two documents.
Tom LaMalfa is a mortgage analyst. He says the reason those documents are important is they show who owns the property and the loan.
What you need to do is be able to trace the movement and the assignment of the note from one investor to another.
Now, the people who want to get rid of those boxes say the papers are all related to very old mortgages and that the boxes have been searched to weed out anything important. But other people, including the U.S. attorney in Delaware, say there could still be important stuff in there that could have implications for thousands of homeowners. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
If you try and book a flight with an online travel system such as Orbitz today, you're not going to find an American Airlines ticket. The carrier is looking for any way it can to increase profits after the Great Recession. You've seen it with added fees at the ticket counter, at the gate, and when you go check your bags. George Hobica is with airfarewatchdog.com. He's out with a list of possible new airline fees for 2011, and he's with us live from New York. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve.
How much money do airlines make off of those fees, the $15, $20 check bag fees and things like that?
They made several billion dollars in 2010. In fact, most of their operating profit, about two-thirds of their operating profit in 2010, was from ancillary fees.
So what do you think is next? What are they going to charge us for?
Well, there are several things they could charge us for. I'm not encouraging them to do so, but let's get that straight. One thing is, you know, a lot of airlines will give you a full refund if a fare goes down between the time you buy and the time you fly. Some airlines charge a fee of $75, $150 out of what they refund. But what if they say, okay, no more refunds at all? It's just like when you buy a TV at Best Buy. You can't bring it back, you know, 6 months later because the fare went down, or the price went down.
And some other things, anything on that you're thinking off the top of your head besides that?
Well, you know, they charge for infant fees, lap children on international flights, 10% of the applicable adult fare. Maybe they'll start charging for domestic travel as well. Another thing perhaps is an in-person check-in fee. They charge to talk to a person on the phone at the airline. They may start charging to talk to a person at the airport if you don't do self-service. In other words, get your boarding pass from the kiosk. And I can understand that. They would actually save a lot of money if they tried to have people do more self-service.
In about 15 seconds or so, when does it stop?
It stops, I think, when fuel prices stop going up. If fuel prices continue to go up, it's going to affect the airline's bottom line, and they really have to remain profitable.
George Hobica of airfarewatchdog.com. George, thanks.
Anytime.
What do you think about these airline fees? What would your suggestion be? Go to our website and vote, or just share your thoughts at marketplace.org. Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now, anywhere between 0.5% and 0.5%. The S&P up about 0.4%. The NASDAQ up 0.8%. The Dow up 78 points now at 11,950, inching toward that 12,000 mark. Global shares are mostly higher at the moment. McDonald's said this morning profits were up 2% in the last 3 months of 2010. And this economic indicator from Apple, the computer firm said this morning, businesses approving iPads for its employees is up at what it calls an amazing rate, which means corporations are starting to spend money again on computers and gadgets, but not necessarily on new employees.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. And by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and Progressive.com.
First, the government bailed out General Motors. Then Uncle Sam put taxpayer money into GMAC, that's the automaker's financing arm, to keep it from going under. Without the help, GMAC would have gone belly up, and its minority owners, GM, and other investors led by private equity giant Cerberus, would have lost everything. With the help, those same investors come out at least a little better, not losing the entire investment. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is with us to explain this change of fortune. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
So what kind of money are we talking about here?
We're talking about somewhere between $2.5 and $3.5 billion involving these guys' investment in GMAC, now known as Ally.
Are they going to recoup any of this money, Alan?
Absolutely. Sooner or later, they'll sell their piece of GMAC in public offering, and they'll still be down, but they'll be down a lot less than they would have been if GMAC had gone bankrupt.
Why'd the federal government become so concerned with GMAC in the first place? I mean, it let Lehman fail, right? Why not GMAC?
What happened with GMAC is GMAC finances 75% of the loans that vehicle dealers take to buy vehicles from GM. So if GMAC went out of business, there wouldn't be anybody to do this financing, because this financing is very sophisticated and not many organizations do it. So the government was afraid that 75% of GM's vehicle sales would disappear, and so would GM, and they were trying to save GM, so they saved GMAC as part of saving GM.
What lesson, Alan, do you think we can take away from all of this?
The difference between the way these big people, GM and Cerberus's investors, were treated and the way regular people were treated. GM and Cerberus are down, but they at least got something. If it had been a regular person in a similar circumstance, he would have been wiped out without a second thought.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan with us this morning. Alan, thank you.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, I remember as a kid when my mom would get the JCPenney catalog in the mail. She'd dog-ear the pages of stuff she wanted the most. Today, the clothing and home retailer said those days are over. They're getting rid of their catalog business, trying to boost profits. That big, colorful catalog is now called the Internet. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, tweeting at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Patton Oswalt has a theory on the role of comedians in society and of public radio hosts.
I need you to keep the world running, and then you need me to amuse you at the end of the day when you've basically saved the world again.
I'm Kai Ryssdal. A stand-up comic makes his literary debut next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.